I've never done a podcast, so this is going to be fun.
Okay.
You're listening to Into the Runoff, UOI's P1 Motorsport podcast.
I'm joined by Megan. How are you?
Hello, I'm good.
And what have we got coming up today?
Well, there was the F1 race in China, and there was a sprint weekend as well. Lots to talk about in that regard. And maybe some other motorsport bits going on as well.
Oh, Formula E, which
Formula E.
I'm so excited about.
Also, we need to discuss no motorsport being in April, but that will come later. First,
let's talk
China.
About China. It was, of course, a sprint weekend. How much of it did you watch?
I watched too much for my sleep schedule. That's all I'm going to say. I didn't watch the sprint.
And did you get up and watch it live?
At 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy.
Oh, I didn't. So the sprint happened. I don't know. Do you have anything to say about the sprint?
I only watched the highlights. So did anyone... What happened? Did someone retire?
Maybe.
Piastri got points.
Piastri did get his first points of the season.
Russell won. Oh, Antonelli, he messed up. He crashed into Hadjar.
Yeah, so something did happen on the sprint. But I think 8 points at this point of the season, no one's really that interested.
And I don't think it was very eventful.
Which leads us on. There were 4 drivers this week who didn't DNS, which is more than Australia, right?
Yes, in Australia, it was just Piastri and... Hulkenberg.
Yeah. Albon had a hydraulic issue on the way to the grid. It wasn't looking great for Williams this weekend, although it did end with points, but we'll get to that. Bortoletto, I went on the Audi website earlier. It's a mystery technical issue. They've not admitted what it was.
That's terrible.
McLaren reported 2 different electrical issues. There's been some tension with the Mercedes customers.
Yes. Basically... They have all forgotten what happens when there isn't an engine freeze. I'm not very sympathetic because this is just how being a customer team works.
Yeah, completely. If you wanted complete information about your engine, build it yourself.
Exactly. And before, there was such a large engine freeze in the build-up to these regs that McLaren and Williams did very well last season. We forget they're customer teams. It's almost like, oh, they said you can't win as a customer team. Well, you can if you figure out everything about the engine, because it's been the same for... God knows how long. This is the reality of it. Though McLaren, apparently, when they re-signed their partnership with Mercedes, they are meant to get a bit more information. But I think Alpine are happy. I haven't heard any complaints from Alpine because they had such an awful French engine.
It is bad for McLaren, but it's worse for Aston Martin. They had an electrical issue as well. Something they did specifically say battery this time, though. And then Alonso retired on lap 34, just over halfway through the race, complaining about vibrations.
That's really bad.
That is really bad.
And Stroll obviously finished lap 10, but... He's the one with the dodgy wrist because he broke his arm. He had surgery last year. So,
although Alonso is quite old.
Yes. Maybe he has osteoporosis, fragile bones.
Maybe.
Old man. Yeah.
He wasn't in the points. It wasn't looking like he was going to get into the points. So from that point of view, it's not that much of a travesty. But Aston Martin needs to sort this out because if they are in a points position and they have to retire because Alonso's bones are falling apart.
It's incredible whatever's happened here. The reason is because Lawrence Stroll's just thrown money at his project and he hasn't actually considered what makes a good team. And it's an expensive team. They built a whole new factory this year.
Absolutely. I think Aston Martin must have one of the bigger budgets now.
And the driver lineup is just Nepo baby and... A man who is a very good driver, but is he good for rebuilding a team?
Yeah, probably
because
not.
Because Alonso is known for his bad career moves, but is he known for developing a car? I don't think so.
It was actually, though, this weekend, Aston Martin did manage to finish a race.
They finished the sprint.
Both cars made it through the sprint.
Amazing.
But the sprint is only 19 laps. And then the last person who didn't make the line was Verstappen, who retired from 6th. He had a ERS coolant fault, it says on the Red Bull website.
He had coolant issues, but his start is bad in every single one I've watched. And Max Verstappen is not a driver you think has a bad start.
Yeah, he went completely backwards at the line. Okay, so first of the finishers, or not first of the finishers, last of the finishers, I guess, Sergio Perez crashed into his teammate on the opening lap. And then drove around fairly anonymously.
Yeah, though Cadillac have had a double finish before McLaren.
That is embarrassing.
And Red Bull.
Although,
and Audi.
Arguably, Cadillac have spent, I don't know, they must have spent at least $1 billion on this. And I think I still saw more of the McLaren this weekend.
Yes, but Cadillac are a new team. And it, I mean, Haas, when they joined 10 years ago, were incredible. But that was just secondhand Ferrari parts, their entire car. Mm. So Cadillac are a completely new team from the scratch. They weren't even sure if they'd make it to Australia. So the fact that they finished a race is an achievement, actually. And it looks bad without that context.
Ocon also crashed into his...
No, not his teammate.
They're not teammates anymore.
He crashed into Colapinto.
Were they ever teammates?
No.
No,
Ocon
and Colapinto. No, sorry.
But he probably did think he was Gasly.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. He sees a pink and blue car and beelines for it.
Yeah.
And then immediately apologised on the radio. Now
owned up to it, which, like... So Ocon never does that. He's famous for sort of brushing it off. And then no driver does that.
No.
Very rarely. So
I don't know
I like
whether...
That.
My original thought was Ocon, having been a member of Alpine, knows how scary Flavio is. So thought, do you know what? I'll take the heat for this one. And Colapinto can survive another day. Or Ocon is terrified of the Argentinian fans.
I mean, he still got battered on. It was instant on the internet. And Colapinto, so he apologised in his social media. Colapinto replied saying, all good, mate. See you next week. And then Colapinto's management said, it makes us look bad. Please stop doing this. And they're still doing it. And I went on his Instagram. And some of it's just like, you're stupid. And some of it is pretty horrific, awful, just really nasty stuff. And plenty of Argentinians going, we're not all like. Some of them saying, we accept your apology. A few of them were like, I was going to leave hate, but you apologised, which is a bit...
Yeah.
But...
It's racing. It's what happens.
It's his racing. It is what happens. But...
Especially
this
if you're
is
a
an
fan
issue.
Ocon.
This is an issue. I think the fan culture is a problem, and I think it's part of a migration from football culture. And it's not just Argentinian football culture. You know, there is a big football culture itself is toxic, but it is that migration in Argentina from football to having an Argentinian F1 driver, which is incredibly exciting.
Hmm.
First to score points since Carlos Reutemann.
Moving on to Bottas, basically the same race as Perez, got crashed into by his teammate and then drove around anonymously.
But he wasn't last. Like, I think we need to say this, actually. He wasn't last. I mean, Ocon had damage from his crash and a 10-second penalty.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. He wasn't last, and he didn't break down, and he beat Perez, which a lot of people said he wouldn't, so...
Yeah.
And I have a feeling he DNF'd in the sprint, so...
Valtteri Bottas DNF,
yes.
Yeah.
So he finished a race, which is good. I mean, for Cadillac, it's just laps. It's just laps and data.
Yeah, absolutely.
Glad to see him back on the grid.
Arvid Lindblad down in 12th. Not a great weekend, because he also DNF'd the sprint.
It was poor.
Especially after, I mean, you know, people are so hard because Australia was such a fantastic weekend for him.
I haven't seen much criticism, to be fair. Nothing like what Lawson got, who we'll get into. But
yeah,
he's a rookie. He's not going to do, like, amazing. He kept spinning. He was a bit of a spinner. The commentary did blame Lawson on this, which is just not true. Poor Lawson. And he crashed into Hadjar in the sprint. Not a great weekend. He finished the race. 12, no points. I think Australia makes up for it, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll allow this one.
Nothing to
he's
worry about.
He's a rookie.
About. Yeah. Hülkenberg, first, he came in 11th. First non-points position.
He's taken on Oli Behrmann's habit of finishing, qualifying, and starting 11th.
Yeah.
Like, it's the whole time he's just been in 11th. It's hilarious.
Yeah, first race he's finished this year.
Do you want a fun stat about Nico Hülkenberg?
I'd love a fun stat about Nico Hülkenberg.
He has the most races without a win, but also the most points without a win.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. He's got his podium now, though.
Yes.
Otherwise, you would also have to add that to it.
Well, he's got the most races before a podium finish.
Yes.
But I have a feeling we're not going to see another Hulk podium. Hulk podium?
No, do you think? I think Audi could sneak one in.
Audi and not sneak. Well, they were quick last race, so maybe it's track dependent.
Yeah. I think, and Audi's building.
They're
I
not
think.
Getting a podium.
They're better than Cadillac. Colapinto picked up a point.
Yes, first point for Alpine after almost a year.
Yeah, probably deserved more.
Well, he definitely should have got more. He was running second after the safety car.
Yeah, but that was...
Yeah, I know, but still, he was... And then, obviously, he didn't have the better pit strategy. But he should have been ahead of Sainz and probably Hadjar as well. So Ocon crashing into him wasn't great. But he is still off his teammate in terms of pace.
Yeah.
But point is good. Otherwise, I was getting a bit worried for his future.
You should always be worried for his future. I don't think there should ever be a moment where you're not. Carlos Sainz, first points for Williams this year.
Purely attrition.
Yeah.
I saw nothing from Sainz in this race.
Yeah, just kind of cruised round. It was about halfway through the race. I saw he was in 10th and I went, oh.
That car is hideously overweight.
Yeah. It was something like 35 kilos at one point, wasn't it?
I mean, Red Bull is also overweight.
Is it?
Yeah, people took pictures of the scales.
Ooh. The scores are in. In that Red Bull, Isaac Hadjar outscored Max.
Max didn't finish.
Yeah.
This is like saying Yuki finished above Max in Austria last year.
But what's the quote? First, to finish first, you must finish. And Hadjar did.
Well done.
So
he got points, which is good.
Also, I think, again, they've got no statistics to back this up, but he is seemingly quite close to Max in pace at the minute.
No, he isn't.
He isn't?
Well,
in
actually,
qualifying, he is.
It's, well, because there's so much spread.
Yeah.
But I think he is doing better than Sonoda. I mean, of course he's going to do better than Sonoda.
Oh, shade on Sonoda.
Look, come on. Let's be realistic. But it's promising, and he is doing well. He's in the points, which is great. It was again, probably on attrition. He didn't have a good pit strategy because he had to pit after spinning and almost taking Behrmann out at the beginning, which was, I mean, he recovered well. He didn't crash. He didn't take Behrmann out. So there's skill there, and he did get points in the end of the day. And he finished the race, so that's more than we can say for 7 of the drivers.
Absolutely. And moving on from one Red Bull driver to the best performing Red Bull driver, which I'm sure lots of people would not be standing up and cheering for after last week, Liam Lawson in the sister team. Maybe he is all that.
And also, he did incredibly in the sprint. He went from like 13th to 7th again, so 2 7th place finishes. Everyone was saying last week he's washed. Ovid's going to beat him. But he had an engine issue last week. He did so well this race. Again, he pit before the safety car.
Wow.
So getting in the points is pretty good. He overtook Lindblad. He overtook Hadjar. I think he was fighting with all sorts of people. Very clean. Like, not a whisker. And he's known for attracting
like
a penalty point. And in fact, he has the same number of points as Max Verstappen in the championship standings.
He did. Now, on to best of the rest. Now, this is a best of
not
the
rest.
Not
the best of the rest.
Well, these two teams, we're going to discuss
this.
These two teams, which I did not foresee coming. The battle for fifth was between Gasly and Behrmann, the Alpine v the Haas, to be crowned as the third best constructor.
I mean, most of the action was them. There was like this sandwich between the two Alpines after the safety car with the two Haas in the middle, and they were all scrapping for position constantly. Behrmann had to avoid Hadjar, which put him down from... He started 10th, but he was up to, like, 8th or something. That put him all the way down to 14th. He had to fight his way back up, which he did. Then the safety car came out, he pit, which was really great for him. And he made his way up to 5th. He was fighting with Gasly, like I thought he'd probably get 7th.
Yeah.
Gasly, Behrmann, Lawson, all fighting with Verstappen before he DNF'd, which is pretty impressive.
That is, because, of course, Verstappen did retire from 6th, so about that position.
Yes.
But again, to finish first, you must finish. And so the crown goes to Ollie Behrmann of Haas.
Yes, and Gasly also did well. Does Behrmann, yeah, if there was a problem, he could have almost got a podium if there was engine problems ahead. Like,
absolutely.
There was a huge gap. I think it was almost a minute.
Or the Ferrari drivers going into each other.
Him and Ferrari. So there, he is firmly midfield, but he is there once again to pick up the pieces. He is 5th in the standings. He's above Lando Norris in the World Driver standings, and he has scored more points than Red Bull.
On to just missing out on the podium, Charles Leclerc, beaten by an old man, out-qualified by an old man.
Okay, Leclerc is not great in China, and Hamilton is, but a 41-year-old man. And arguably, people say Leclerc is top three, which I can see. I would agree in terms of drivers. So I don't think this won't be a stain on the record.
Absolutely
not. It's not.
And can it be a stain on the record if it's against Lewis Hamilton?
Well, I would say this is more a great, like a big golden star for Lewis Hamilton. Leclerc will be third. It will be like George Russell last year, does nothing third for Leclerc. He was just made a few mistakes. He just wasn't quite as quick as Hamilton.
No, well, and Hamilton did wheel out kind of the tyre whisperer tricks again.
He's back.
Which
He's back.
Was impressive because he did a lot of battling. So to hold on to those tyres all the way through, especially, and I think he learned a lot from the sprint. I think clearly there was some discussion on Saturday night about, okay, let's not do that again.
He's having the time of his life. His racecraft is back. It's beautiful to watch. I mean, the Ferraris were fighting each other. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, really good fun.
They did maybe again, if I was
Fred, I would not be having that.
Fred does not care.
Fred does not care. He should. I think
but
he should.
It's fine. I think they are both grown-ups. It's not like... both grown-up enough not to crash into each other. You would hope.
Yeah, you would hope. But I just think they could save their tyres and they could be in that fight with Mercedes longer.
I don't think they could.
But the longer you put pressure on, the more likely it is that one of them makes a mistake.
They need to learn the regs and how to fight with other cars.
That's true.
Fighting together. And they did it cleanly. And they had fun. Leclerc said he had fun. And when have you seen Leclerc happy?
Especially considering he didn't win the battle.
And he didn't get on the podium and he was still having a great time. And Hamilton's back.
Hamilton's so back.
This is the Hamilton of my childhood. I was thinking, oh God, he's going to retire. I don't know if we can get rid of him now.
If he has a season like this, he's not going anywhere.
I feel like maybe he might end on a high.
If Hamilton gets a sniff at an eighth world title, he would have to be pulled from that seat.
I do think that Ferrari are a long way off Mercedes.
They are. But I think...
Even winning a race looks very unlikely.
But I think if you look back at... If you go back to the start of the ground effect era, it was very... Like, Ferrari came out of the garage kind of the favourites. And then it was only Verstappen, essentially, through the season, started chipping away at points. And it was about in Austria, I'd say, that there was the turning point when... I think Max won just ahead of Charles, and then that was kind of the last opportunity Ferrari had. On to beating by an old man, to beating by a child, George Russell. He had a bit of an unlucky weekend. I think he probably was closer to Antonelli than it looked. I think there was definitely a pace deficit, but the issues he had in qualifying meant he put in a pretty decent lap with no prep to go into P2. And then because of that position... Antonelli played it very smart off the line, covering off George, knowing that he'd get back past the Ferraris, knowing that George was really the competitor
and
for the win.
George got caught up. Both Ferrari and Mercedes did a double stack for their pit stops. George came out and he was caught up in the midfield, and that slowed him down. So, you know, he wasn't quite there. I mean, he managed to get second. He was still second. That Mercedes is an absolute... rocket ship. That is a monster of a car. But yeah, he got beaten by a child, which how many times this season do we think that is going to happen?
I think after this weekend and how controlled Kimi was up until obviously at the end making Bono sweat with his little
little off
into the runoff
little lock up.
But I think he's going to keep Bono and George on his toes. I think Kimi's got a lot of potential there. And also, if I was Toto Wolff, like, look, George has come a long way and you obviously want to support George, but there is so much more story in Kimi Antonelli coming to the front.
Yes, though I think Kimi, honestly, deserved that win. He controlled the safety car restart. He was leading. He missed out on a Grand Slam by one lap because Lewis overtook him on the first lap.
Yeah.
So he did so well, but I think if Russell hadn't had that issue in quali, Russell would be on pole. So there is that caveat. So I think the pole maybe is on merit. He's still got the lap in, but there is context to that. Whereas the race win is undoubtedly Antonelli's, and it was a lovely sight to see.
Yeah, completely.
I have some stats about that, actually. So he is now, obviously he's the youngest pole sitter, but he is also the second youngest race winner.
And the second only teenager.
Second only teenager after Max Verstappen. Do you know who is third?
Ooh.
A third youngest race winner.
Well, my guess would be someone like Seb Vettel.
Yes, Seb Vettel, 2008. Then?
I think it's going to be someone really rogue. Like, it's not like Charles Leclerc.
Is
it Charles Leclerc? Oh, get in there.
Then it's Fernando.
Wow.
And then we have someone very rogue. We have Troy Ruttman at number six, who won the 1952 Indy 500, but I don't think that should count. Seventh, Bruce McLaren. And there is an interesting stat with Bruce McLaren that you seen? So Oscar Piastri is the first McLaren driver
since Bruce McLaren
not start two races in a row since Bruce McLaren.
Yeah.
So the oceanic sort of drivers not doing so well.
No. Of course, Sebastian Vettel is still the youngest driver ever. Now, we might be getting a little ahead of ourselves, but still the youngest driver to ever win a world championship. And he was 23, I think, which gives Antonelli about three or four shots at it.
Yes, he was 23 in 2010, so his third season.
That's very doable.
But then you look at someone like Oscar Piastri, who is a great driver. He's an incredible driver by all means, but he just wasn't able to finish this. It's a long season, and yeah, he couldn't keep up that pace. And you, third season of F1, and probably came into the sport more refined than Kimi Antonelli. You know, Kimi Antonelli didn't even do F3. Kimi Antonelli's still really learning. And Oscar Piastri still has a lot to learn.
You mentioned the season being too long. Well, it's already got two races shorter, and potentially we can lose two more at the end of the season.
And Azerbaijan.
And Azerbaijan, of course.
We have lost the Bahrain Grand Prix and the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, so there is motor racing in April, but there is no F1 motor racing in April. I don't think they'll be able to reschedule. It gets so tight at the end of the season. There isn't, unless they cut the summer break, which they can't really do because it's such a long season and the mechanics really need that month off. So I don't think the F1 races will be rescheduled. Maybe one of them will. Maybe because Jeddah hasn't been a location that is heavily affected yeah. by this war or conflict in the Middle East. Bahrain is off the cards. That is not happening. F1, I think, will be fine. They can do 22 races. It's not that significant. It doesn't affect their world championship. Everyone gets a month off. They can develop their engines. It's annoying for us fans, of course. We don't get a race until May, until Canada? Miami
in Canada.
My concern is, as someone who watches the feeder series, F2 and F3 are not racing until Monaco.
And how close those championships are, like that.
Yes,
that
and they only have about
impact.
10, 14 weekends for F2, F3, I can't remember, not that many. So 3 months without racing. In the standings, one weekend makes a huge difference. F1 Academy as well was meant to be in Saudi. They only have 7 race weekends. So going down to 6 isn't great, especially they don't have much time on track. So that's a series that almost really, really needs the time on track. But from what was said about the feeder series, it says these races will not take place in this slot in the schedule. Mm. So it was, F1 was just, they're not happening.
The feeder series is,
there's a rumour that the three of them will get together and go to a circuit.
Oh, that'd be
and
nice.
And have a little fun weekend. I don't know which circuit. This might not be true, but it's heavily implied. In fact, F2 has said, more information about the schedule is to come. So I think it's promising for those, and I hope they can race.
Did you want to do a little F1 Academy roundup?
Yes, so it was F1 Academy's first race of the season. They have, like, loads of new drivers. F1 Academy is an F4 series for women. It was a pretty clean weekend, which I was pretty surprised by. It looks like the competition is between the second-year drivers. Alicia Palmowski, the British driver, started from pole but didn't keep it. Emma Feldermeyer, who is supported by Audi, double podium this weekend.
Brilliant.
I was not expecting that. Albert Larson actually managed to get in the main race, managed to get ahead of Palmowski, led for almost the whole thing until there was a safety car restart and she goes over, she just too much speed into that final corner and goes into the gravel trap. And it was heartbreaking. She's 17. She's very young. Okay. She's being supported by Ferrari. And she's very quick, but she has not won a race because she makes very silly mistakes. Yeah. So I hope they can reschedule because I think this is going to be very close. The other contender who did not have a good weekend is my Welsh queen, Ella Lloyd, who is supported by McLaren. I think she will be a title contender. But they really do need their 7 weekends.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that it's being battled out between the second years, because I think that's a good sign that it is developing the drivers.
Well, I say that, but there was a rookie driver, Peyton Westcott, supported by Mercedes, who was third.
Oh, that's pretty
good. So really, really good. And the rookies have surprised me. They've been very good. A lot of them, first time in single-seaters. And there was only 2 incidents, which is actually better than last year. And it's better than the F4 series.
It's a decent-sized grid as well, isn't it?
18,
yeah.
So with our month off, British F4 is starting. I think a couple of the others are. Look out, there's a McLaren junior called Dries van Langenhoek, who is just a beast, an absolute beast. But other than, F4 is honestly a lot of fun. They're like 30-minute races. It's chaos. So if you like a bit of chaos and you like constant racing, recommend.
But I think it's also interesting because like there's so many junior drivers, and the good ones, because they're coming into F1 so young,
you can invest in the stocks early. And I think we're starting to see that. I mean, obviously, the most obvious one will be Freddie Slater, who's an Alpine. Alpine. You don't want to be an Alpine junior.
You don't want to be
that.
You're not going anywhere.
He's the Audi junior. He's supported by Audi. And do you know the soap company, Bayliss and Hardings?
Yes. Yeah.
His dad owns that. They are minted.
That is rogue. Yeah.
But well, he is also incredibly fast. He's an F3.
Posh soap boy. Yeah, posh soap boy.
I think he's...
There's
keep your
definitely
eye on him.
Some like squeaky clean racing.
He's basically guaranteed a seat in 2028.
Okay. IndyCar in Texas. My favourite topic.
I love IndyCar. IndyCar, best. I was keeping an eye on it. They did a street track and the streets look awful. I mean, I didn't watch all of it from an emotionally F1 sort of standpoint. IndyCar of just constantly having weekends. So if you need motorsport in your month off, watch IndyCar. They have. It's like. So there's always this topic of failed F1 drivers going to Indy.
Yeah.
And this year they have the one and only Mick Schumacher.
Legend. Legend of the sport.
Legend of the sport.
Most famous for binning it in Monaco and Jeddah and slicing the Haas in half.
He qualified something like fourth last weekend.
Wow.
He hasn't done that great in the races, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, that does speak to the calibre of American drivers.
But... if anyone knows anything about IndyCar, they might know that there's this driver called Alex Palou, who has dominated the last 4 years, like even more than Max Verstappen has. He's led the championship for 4 years, and his reign of terror is over, we hope. I mean, there's still a long way to go. IndyCar has lots of races. There's the all-famous Indy 500 coming up, but there's a new leader.
In town.
In town, whose name I can't remember. But also, talking of failed F1 drivers in IndyCar, Marcus Ericsson, who was teammate to Charles Leclerc and got absolutely battered.
Yeah.
He got his first pole in Texas.
He's been in IndyCar for quite a while now,
hasn't
he?
He hasn't done much, but he's kind of...
He won the Indy 500, didn't he?
He hasn't done much. He hasn't done much.
Only an Indy 500
winner. But yeah, they're all having a great time. McLaren are not having a great time in IndyCar either.
And McLaren having a good time anywhere.
Zach Brown was literally there. He literally flew from China because McLaren were doing so bad.
Oh,
and
my
then,
gosh. Poor guy.
One of his drivers is genuinely a bit horrendous. Nolan Siegel, watch out, King. You might not have a seat.
To wrap up. What's coming up, NASCAR in Darlington on Friday. Will you be tuning in?
Can I set a rule for the podcast?
Go on.
We are not talking about NASCAR. I am not having NASCAR on our motorsport.
It's exciting though. They're going circles.
Yeah, turn left.
Potentially slightly more interesting. Formula E is in Madrid on a permanent circuit this weekend.
Whoa, exciting!
Very,
very exciting. Everyone's saying these new regs are like Formula E. If anyone has ever watched a Formula E race, they would know this is not true.
Yeah.
Because Formula E is all about waiting until the last 10 laps to take the lead because it's peloton racing and no one wants to take the lead, which you could say is boring, but lots of chaos happens because honestly the quality of the grid is poor.
Yeah.
No, it's getting better. There's some exciting prospects. Do you remember, was it 2 years ago, with the Grand Prix Driver Association wrote a letter to the FIA?
Not really.
Okay. Well, Formula E are, all the drivers have been busy complaining to the FIA because there's been some really dodgy stewarding. Dan Tixum has had a rough time.
When does he not have a rough time?
Dan Tixum, if you don't know, is probably maybe Formula E's most famous driver, or infamous.
Yeah.
He's known for crashing out. He's always crashing out and crashing into people.
Yeah.
But he has had some dodgy penalties. So they've been complaining about that. And also,
I mean, to be quite honest, if I was a steward, I also would be being quite harsh on Dan Tixum.
It's more that someone crashed into him and nothing happened.
Okay.
There's also been some really
bad... Maybe he deserved it, though.
...race direction, which is just safety.
Yeah,
poor completely. Safety you don't want to see in motorsport. So they wrote to the FIA. They didn't tell their teams about this. So all the team principals are threatening to not give them money.
Crazy.
So we'll see how that plays out. Will they strike?
Well, you only get about 50p a year for doing Formula E anyway. So.
I generally don't know. Will they get paid? They're not allowed. There's no pay drivers, actually. They have a weird mechanic where pay drivers aren't really a possibility.
Well, who would pay for a Formula EC anyway?
Oh, poor Formula E. It gets a bad rap. But the racing is not like F1 racing. I do think we maybe should not have electric engines in F1, but it is a very different series with a very different vibe. They do, like, race once a month. I am a Formula E defender.
I'm with you, actually. I think the street circuit gimmick is kind of cool. The random chicanes are annoying. I'll back that.
It is chaos.
The kind of weird hybrid street road circuit, I'm here for
it. You never know. Sometimes it's not a good race, I'm going to admit it, but it often you genuinely you don't know what's going to happen. Whoever qualifies first may not even finish the race. It's not a qualifying championship like F1 has been in previous years, but I would argue F1 maybe is not a qualifying championship this year. Rally is coming back to Scotland. I don't think this is relevant, but I saw it
WEC.
On Twitter. WEC, no, Rally.
Not WEC.
Not WEC.
WRC.
But WEC is also... WEC's coming to Silverstone.
Is it?
Next year, I think.
Oh.
I don't know if it's official, but it's very much rumoured that
WRC
WEC,
in Scotland, though. Hang on.
Yeah, WRC in Scotland. In Aberdeenshire.
That's going to be incredible.
Because they used to do it in Wales. They used to do it...
They did.
So that is really cool, and... It's great to have Scotland have some motorsport. Knockhill is a track in Scotland, but
indeed.
I think Scotland has a lot of potential for rally.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of rally in all sorts of incredible climates. So you're going from Kenya, they were in this weekend, to Scotland.
I don't think you're doing Scotland a disservice.
It's actually a shame that Colin McRae, the goat of rally, is no longer with us because he was Scottish. There's been some amazing Scottish rally drivers.
He would have loved it. Last couple bits, MotoGP in Brazil.
Have you ever watched MotoGP?
Maybe once.
Can you name a MotoGP driver?
Mark Marquez.
Can you name another one?
The Doctor.
He's no longer racing.
Shoot. I can't even remember his real name. Valentino Rossi.
We need to expand our horizons. So if you know anything about other motorsport than F1...
Send us a little report. We'll read it out.
Come to the studio.
Come to the studio. And then finally, back in two weekends, Japan.
Woohoo!
How excited are you? Do you know what? Suzuka, I'll go fast. So I don't rate Suzuka.
No, I would love to see... This is the true test of the wrecks. In a track where it is incredibly dull, can the regs hold up and be great for overtaking?
Yeah, people love Suzuka, but I don't... It's a cool atmosphere. It's an interesting quali track.
Yes.
Racing.
Are we going to do a Suzuka preview episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll save my stats for that then.
All right.
So exciting things are happening.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for listening to Into the Runoff. Any final notes?
Let us know what you think. This is very new.
Yeah.
We love motorsport. URY maybe is not a motorsport sort of...
I think we'll find them.
We're going to get them into it.
Yeah.
But please come along if you want to be a guest.
Yes.
We'll have guests.
We'll have guests. We'll have co-presenters. We'll have whatever's offered.
Anything. Please.
Please.
Please. Please. Anything.
All right. See you in a couple of weeks. Goodbye.
Bye.